Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's Show. And tonight, I'm going to call this show Perversion. Perversion. Because it's appropriate. Excuse me, we live in perverted times. No question. We live in very perverted times. And tonight I'm going to talk about the different perversions that we are dealing with in today's reality. Or I shouldn't say today's reality, today's manipulated reality. I guess that's a better word, really, manipulated. Because it's a everything we've been doing for the last little while has been a manipulation. And there have been a lot of people out there fighting to stop this becoming a permanent manipulation of a reality that shouldn't exist. And we have governments across the planet today that are the most perverse entities that ever walked the planet. And now they're trying to subjugate the world into their perversion. And some of you are going to get mad at me tonight. That's okay. It's nothing I'm not used to. I've made many people mad at me because of my views, but I don't know what I want to start out with first. Sexual perversion and deviation, which some people may think is normal, but others who have a brain cell functioning know that this is not normal. Or political perversion, which we've all have experienced in the last 2 years. And yet there are some people that actually still believe to this day that the government was looking out to their best interest. I don't know how or why this came about, or how it is, but it is what it is. So let me start off. Okay, let's get to the gross shit first. Because I can only handle so much of this anyway. And I figured anybody who's got any kind of fiber, any kind of moral fiber, or any kind of backbone for what's right and wrong, you can only handle so much of this. So I'm going to play this so that you understand this is where we're at today. And I will say this, if this happens, then we can expect something worse than what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah.
We've already found a secret memo coming out of the Justice Department. They're now going to go after 12 new perversions. Things like bestiality, polygamy, having sex with little boys and making that legal. And not only that, but they have a whole list of strategies to go after the churches, the pastors, and any businesses that tries to assert their religious liberty. This is coming, and it's coming like a tidal wave.
All right, so Congressman, I just want to get this straight. So you are aware of a Justice Department memo where that says there will be an effort to legitimize or legalize bestiality, pedophilia, and, as you put it, perversions?
That's correct. That's correct. They're coming down with 12 new perversions. The LGBT just isn't is only the beginning. They're going to start expanding it to the other perversions.
All right. Well, nothing anymore would surprise me. Absolutely nothing would surprise me.
Imagine that. You know what's interesting? I forget who said it. It was a quote. Those who do not read their history are doomed to repeat it. And I will say this straight out too. All perversion, it seems, is coming from government. WEF wants to pervert Canada. China wants to pervert Canada. Everybody wants to pervert Canada. I don't know why, but they now, and they also want to pervert Australia. They want to pervert New Zealand. They want to pervert South Africa. They want to pervert the Caribbean. They want to pervert USA. Then they want to go after Europe. We got some of the most perverted demonics running the world today. Now you heard what they want to bring in. This is so, and you know why they want to bring this in? One of the reasons why? Because there have been complaints by pedophiles saying that they're not now having any kind of equality, that homosexuals and lesbians and whatever else is out there are having. So now they're making legislation so that even pedophiles will be able to have rights. I shouldn't say rights. Perversions. To be able to exercise their choice. Now this is the United States. Now don't be alarmed if it comes to Canada. Don't say, well, those Americans, you know, they're always crazy and doing you about it. But that's true. But what's worse is everybody watches what America does and then they copy it. Good, bad, or indifferent. Doesn't matter. So, I'm expressing this today so that everybody who does watch this doesn't play monkey see, monkey do. This shit, it's amazing. You know, I put a scriptural reference on the script. I read it today, and I thought, you know how apropos this is to be able to read this, hear this shit, because it's nothing but shit. And then see the scriptural reference. It says it's Luke 17. Well, it's actually Luke 17:2. It says it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. You think maybe Jesus would have been a little ticked? I mean, he did make a whip and whip some ass in a church that they were selling stuff in. Imagine how much more he's going to be pissed if a child, a little one, gets hurt in this perversion. I think he's going to be just a tad pissed. My opinion, anyway. Just a tad. And we better all have the same mentality, you know, especially if you're a believer. And if you're a believer and you're going to sit on the fence on this, well, you know, they have a right. Well, go F yourself. That's just how I'm going to put it. Because if this doesn't ring a bell for anybody to take a stand on this issue, this is not about rights. I'm going to play a speech that Ronald Reagan talked about in 1964. It's an amazing speech. It actually reflects today to a T. Being gay is not a right. I don't give a shit what anybody says. Being a lesbian is not a right. It's a choice you make, but you don't have any more rights than anybody else, whether they be heterosexual or otherwise. Heterosexuality, gayism, lesbianism, all this other crap, these entitlements, these are designations, that's it. If you're choosing to be gay, if you're choosing to be a lesbian, or you're choosing to be some sort of unusual sexual activity of some kind, that's not a right. That's a choice. Okay? We don't have any rights to begin with. And to be forced to accept somebody's behavior when you don't agree with it is not government's business or position to enforce. If you have a higher moral ground, and it is a higher moral ground, irrespective of what you may think on the sexual level, and I'm just basically saying it the way it is. And then, again, call me old-fashioned, call me what you will, say I'm old-fashioned, say I'm over the hill. Well, you know what? Some things in the past still have merit, and we should still uphold those merits. Just because you make a choice in a lifestyle doesn't give you any more rights, doesn't give you any rights, period. Me being heterosexual doesn't give me any more rights than what's been written either in the Charter or in the Constitution. That's where your rights come from. And when the government starts to step in and tries to bring something that directly opposes God. If we go back to the old law, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, under Hebrew law, anybody caught in this type of behavior, whether they were gay, lesbian, or pedophile, or fucking animals, let's just call it what it is, were stoned. They were just stoned. In order to preserve a civilization, in order to preserve the moral high ground, the spiritual aspect, this was eliminated, not tolerated. And the reason why we have so much of this shit today is because of all these endocrine altering chemicals they put into the food supply. Another perversion. Not everybody was born gay. I would say everybody was chemically altered that is gay today. That's what I would say. Some people are perverted and they just chose that lifestyle and that's fine. That's their choice, but then there's the consequences, and none of us need to tolerate that on any level. But those that were violated through perversion, through scientific perversion, like they're doing today, it's what it is, scientific perversion. When you're putting stuff in the food supply to alter the biology or physiology or biochemistry of another person, of people on the planet in order to create this dynamic of stopping any kind of procreation, that's a perversion on the highest magnitude. And now we're hearing that the U.S. government is going to fully embrace these perversions and give people access to exercise those perversions. Sodom and Gomorrah got wiped out, cindered. Even Abraham, if anybody's read the story, Abraham tried to negotiate a deal with God because he had a nephew that lived in the area where God was going to destroy. And God said, and it started off with, if Abraham said, if you could find 100 righteous people in the country, would you spare the country? He says, Abraham, for you, buddy, if I can find 100 people in that area, I will spare them. Abraham says, okay, God, please don't get mad at me. I want to continue this negotiation. He says, if you could find 50 people in this area that are righteous, would you spare the land? And God said, for Abraham, for you, if I can find 50 people, I will spare the land. And he got him down to some real small number. I think it was either 5 or 10. God couldn't find one righteous person in those countries because they were completely perverted because of what was allowed to exist. Not one. The angels got Lot and his daughters out, and his wife basically turned to stone because she was told not to turn, look back, and she did, and she became a pillar of salt, which I believe her statue still stands to this day. Now, if God wasn't going to tolerate that shit back then, you think he's going to tolerate it today? So I'm saying this primarily to basically anybody who has a faith in God, believes in these moral principles. I don't care what your background is, whether you be Hebrew, Islamic, or Christian, or anything else, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. If you have that concept or that morality or that belief in God, and you know God doesn't take kindly to having his little ones or his children, real children, being offended. Lordy, lordy. I don't think I want to be in the United States. Because if that perversion gets out to the rest of the Commonwealth, it's pretty well a done deal. There ain't gonna be nothing left. There won't be even be a memory. It's, you know, I mean, and again, I wanted to play this because I wanted to start off with, like I said, the topic tonight is going to be perversion. We heard the other day about the cattle being killed in Kansas, and they're coming up with, trying to come up with all kinds of, you know, whatever. They got killed with energy weapons. And the signs are all over the place. When you look at these cattle and they're laying on their side and their legs and whatever are the way they are, that's not just rigor mortis. That's indicative of some kind of central nervous breakdown. You're not going to kill 10,000 cattle with just whatever they're saying. They got taken out. They were another, and this is what nobody's paying attention to. That was another part of the food supply chain. Everyone keeps thinking about factories and warehouses and storage spaces where they're storing or packaging or collecting the food. But that's also a collection. Any farmer that's got cattle out in the field, okay, that's like a storage facility. Cattle need to go outside, enjoy the sun, and graze. Well, they got taken out. And it was convenient because they were all in one area. So another supply chain was taken out, but they're not reporting it as a supply chain, are they? But that is a supply chain. How many of you eat meat? Where do you think that meat came from? Think about that. Where did the meat come from? Oh, it came from a farm. Oh, where did these cows die on? Oh, they died on a farm. Don't be surprised, the next place you see will be a poultry production place where chickens are running in farms or whatnot, or ducks, and they wipe that out. This is all being done through sabotage. We all know this. And you know why they're doing this? Part of the reason why? London, Ontario, Canada, about 2 hours from where I live, has got a facility that's producing 9,000 metric tons of crickets. Now imagine that. Another perversion. So now when you go to McDonald's or Burger King or Kentucky Fried Chicken or Olive Garden, you're going to go into McDonald's and he's going to say, I want a Big Crick sandwich, a Big Crick. And you won't be going to Burger King anymore. You'll be going to Cricket King, where kids are king. And you won't be going to Kentucky Fried Chicken, you'll be going to Kentucky Fried Cricket. How about Cricket Garden? You know, even the vegans will be able to get on this one. Because see, the vegans' biggest argument has been, well, you're eating cows and it's meat and meat and meat. Well, now you can eat crickets. That actually will have more protein in it than the soy you're eating. And shouldn't have any kind of endocrine disrupting chemicals, but you never know what they're going to feed those crickets. 9,000 metric tons of crickets being fed endocrine disrupting chemicals. Wow, it'll be right up to vegan's alley. Hey, sign me up. You know, that's a perversion. All this bullshit that they're talking today in regarding to the global resources. As I said in many shows, it's not the resources are the problem. It's the ones running the resources are the problem. Why does Bill Gates have 250,000 acres of farmland in America when he's not a farmer? And why was the land sold to him in the first place? He doesn't even know how to write a computer code, much less a farm. He's stolen all the technology. That's how he got rich, by stealing the tech. So why is it that this kind of stuff, and then when you look at the United States and a lot of farmland being bought by foreign nationals, you gotta kind of wonder, Who's trying to do the United States in? Who's trying to take America out? See, this is the Roman Empire all over again. This is the Roman Empire all over again. The Romans were weakened from the inside. The military was stripped down. They didn't have the means to fight. The invading force that came in took them over, and they were beat without hardly any battle. They didn't have enough fight to muster. And then you got the politicians wanting to take away handguns and AR-15s and all that stuff. Doesn't that sound like they're preparing North America to be invaded by a foreign army? Does it sound like that? Another perversion? You know, let me continue on here. I want to read something I got from Australia today. So bear with me. I've been in contact with this person for a while. And she writes, I'm going to read this. Just a quick update, you guys. Victoria, Australia is out of control. I drove into Victoria and went to a vet. Every single person that came in was disabled, or one I was bun while they were limping. But what I noticed most of all is that everyone who's vaccinated here in Australia is now aging at 100 miles an hour. The gray and old, even young people, are so aging so quickly, it's actually shocking to watch. I believe you're on 6G in Deniliquin, New South Wales, zip code 2710. It is out of control for me. I have two platinum shunts in my head. I was down the main street the other day and started shaking like I had Parkinson's. I was trying to sell biodynamic organic food to the zombies, and someone Wi-Fi in the window was attacking my head when they moved it. Stopped, but it's different now. It's really different. AI is all over us. We are now going into a massive food shortage. Does this sound familiar, North America, Canada, U.S.? Pay attention. Australia is leading the charge. Australia is leading the charge. Probably the Kiwis and New Zealand the same. We're now going into a mass food shortage, and it's orchestrated just like they did back in the day. The Poland people he's talking back to Australia. People are not rational. I'm going to ministry next week to get rid of generational demons. I'm under spiritual attack at the moment, as are most of the unvaccinated. As most of the unvaccinated Christians, it is horrific. The thoughts of suicide and giving up and selling everything and leaving everything behind is just phenomenal. If I hadn't met you guys, I've been strife. Now every day is a battle. Every day you're fighting the demons in your head. It is so intense. I have a lot of people now coming around me, which are because of the unvaccinated. We're all connecting, and these people are spiritual and physically and mentally still with us. We are strong in network. We are running out of time, or I believe we ran out of time 4 weeks ago for an upgrade when everyone presented at the hospital with a vertigo, migraines, suspected tumors, that the brain dizziness, falling over, throwing up, and it was all due to the upgrade of the towers. It's now quite intense, and you can feel yourself in the matrix. Trying to get out is very difficult. I believe that we're under a spell like witchcraft. Had some going into a room, and I'm going to do exorcism on myself with other Christians. Believe we're under a spell. Oh, no. And then try to fight the demons, because now they're waking up. They're actually coming at a small. What these demons are or how they look like, I don't know. I just know that it's all over me. I'm not alone with this thought. There are quite a few of us now that are banding together. We're the most eclectic crew, but we're all still in it, still thin, fit, and confident. We stand out in the crowd now. People look at it almost like the eyes watching us anyway. You might think you've gone mad, but I think I've woken up, and that's happening around me now. It's speeding up very quickly, and everyone is starting to fade. It's like they're losing their hologram anyway, and I would like an update of what's going on around you and your immediate vicinity. And then she talks about how Australia is privatizing the forest, or you can't get into the thing now. They got it walled up. This is Australia. And it's going to be Canada. You know why it's going to be Canada? Because we got some of the worst perverted people or most perverted entities in government right now. Starting with the head, the number one representative of the WEF, One Sock, and the rest of Parliament. They're all perverts. All of them. They're perverting justice all the time. How is it that a entity can commit so many crimes in public office and not be arrested? Now, in the United States, this is coming up in America. And everybody in America that still has any kind of foundation in them, again, I don't understand this, and I gotta admit, I'm kind of stupid here. I'm really effing stupid here. I do not understand why parents are still sending their kids to school. I was having a discussion with a woman today. She came to the shop. She's telling me her grandson says, "Grandma, I want to marry you when I get older." No, not when you, I want to marry, she, no, I want to marry you. She says, "Well, you can't marry me," she said. You'll just get hurt. She says, "Well, I'll marry Granddad then." She says, "Marry Granddad? Well, why would you do that?" "Well, I can choose if I want." Now, this kid's 5 years old. 5 years old in the kindergarten. Learning about this kind of bullshit. It's all bullshit. Now, if you have a different opinion, that's fine, but it's still bullshit. I don't care what anybody says. Kids are supposed to be going to school to get an education, to learn how to think, do mathematics, science, reading, learn skills that's going to help them in life. Their sexuality and being influenced as in a sexual way at that age is a perversion. Now, I had another thing there that I lost. I don't know where it went. Where some school teacher dressed this person's grandchild, boy, in a dress. He was not happy in the least. And I think he took a lot of constraint because I think he was going to go down there and whoop somebody's ass. It would have been my first thought. Anyway, he told that lady, "Don't ever do that shit again." And she kept telling, "Well, you can't talk to me. You got to talk to the administration." I said, "No, I'm talking to you." You know, and this is something that parents need to exercise. The education system is supposed to educate, not moralize your child to be gay or lesbian or teach them how to masturbate or go home and ask your dad what does he think when he's masturbating. What kind of shit is that? That's preparing a generation down the road to become like Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what that's going. There's no enlightenment here. There's nothing here but a bunch of debauchery going to be happening that up the way. They're not going to be doing anything other than what? Placating to an entity, a bunch of perverted entities. This kind of shit parents should not tolerate anywhere. And if you're in Canada and you're a parent, pull your kids out of these bloody schools. What are you sending them there for? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If they pass that legislation in the States, it will come to Canada. Then you're going to have pedophiles all over the elementary schools. You're going to have pedophiles all around the elementary schools. And then your kid is going to be subjected to being exposed to some shit they're not supposed to be exposed to. That's how it is. That's where this will go. Why are you sending your kids to school? I do not understand. Because if you pull them out of school and they decided they're going to come and take your kids, that's when it'd be a throwdown. And then the government would have to reassess this idea of perverting the country. You cannot create these kind of dynamics in any institution, in any country, anywhere, if you expect that country to continue. This idea that there's going to be some kind of future America, that's a dream. That's an illusion. That's a hologram at best. If the family units in a country are not sustained and held in the highest position, you have no foundation as a country. And when you remove God out of the equation, because we're trying to pacify some other people that don't believe in the same God we do, that's not our problem. I believe in the living God. I believe in that God through Jesus Christ. That's where I stand. Now, there are other people that believe all kinds of other things, and they are welcome to believe those things. But if they try to force me to change my beliefs, there will be a throwdown. That's the way it is. I don't go out of my way to change anybody else's beliefs. We may discuss things from a biblical perspective or from their spiritual perspective. That, again, there'll be, for me, it's always an enlightenment, because then I get to understand those belief systems better. For them, I'm hoping it's an enlightenment, because then they get exposed to Jesus, hopefully. And then they can pursue that venue if they want to. But the idea that, again, this North America was founded by Europeans mostly. And they brought their beliefs, their faith, their skills, and they built Canada and they built America. And now there is this concept of because they are lighter skinned, they're now being targeted and centralized as some kind of problem. As Trudeau made in one speech that he himself didn't sit well, that we had a white influence in Canada. Well, it's not a white influence, let's get that straight. It wasn't a color configuration that helped this country grow. It was a culture, a European culture, that helped the country grow and developed it. Later on, other cultures came in and added to it. See, they want to emulsify the population under it to become one species, one race, one kind. No more diversity, because it's harder to be a one world government when you have a diverse set of culture. And if we are not standing up now for kids and rights and some kind of morality in this country, all that you're going to have, basically, there will be no diversity whatsoever. It's a lot easier than to wipe out a species if there is no diversity. Even creation shows you this. When Mexico grew corn long before they got into the genetics, they used to grow 13 different strains of corn together, because each strain defended the other one. When the United States corn crop got blighted because of the genetically engineering of the corn, they had to go to Mexico to get corn from them, because their corn was untainted. But they had the diversity to continue. If one strain got taken out and had 12 other ones, they would grow and give them corn. Genetics doesn't do that. The genetics that we're seeing today primarily is showing you again another perversion. Now in Canada, we have a perversion going on right now with Bill C-11. They're trying to ram this through Parliament. Now, how Where is the representation for the will of the people of this country? The NDP party, the no damn party, is not even a party anymore. They're just a big, they're a big liberal government now. Like I said, I could see Broadbent in the past, looking at this shit today. He'd flip. He'd flip. You know, I'm going to play something, another perversion. This is why I say never trust your doctors, especially that reject from a test tube experiment that's giving out health advice in Canada. It's amazing. Here, let me play this so you can hear this perversion.
Examinations on the Peckford Charter Challenge. So the government brought forth a surprising number of government officials and external experts, 16 in total. Hmm. And so these are the people that the ministers keep referring to as we're relying on the experts. And the testimony that we got from those experts in cross-examination, even today, it's still going on, it started mid-May, and the cross-examinations are scheduled to conclude at the end of June. It's just been a grueling daily schedule here. Mm-hmm. But for example, the head epidemiologist for the Public Health Agency of Canada admitted while I was cross-examining her that they never recommended vaccination of air travelers.
Huh.
I was stunned.
Huh.
And I can provide you the
Okay, I'm going to play another one because that one didn't come out too good. Hold on. Let me find it now where it went. Here we go.
On the Peckford Charter Challenge. So the government brought forth a surprising number of government officials and external experts, 16 in total.
Hmm.
And so these are the people that the ministers keep referring to as we're relying on the experts. And the testimony that we got from those experts in cross-examination, even today, it's still going on, it started mid-May, and the cross-examinations are scheduled to conclude at the end of June. It's just been a grueling daily schedule here. Mm-hmm. But for example, the head epidemiologist for the Public Health Agency of Canada admitted while I was cross-examining her that they never recommended vaccination of air travelers.
Huh.
I was stunned.
Huh.
And I can provide you the transcript. I can provide you with her affidavit. The written advice that they provided did not identify vaccination as a mitigation strategy. They identified masking, they identified spacing at arrivals, departures, and on the plane and things like that, a quarantine area if someone was sick. And when I put it to her that they hadn't in fact recommended vaccination, this is the head epidemiologist for the Government of Canada, she said, she volunteered that the reason is the scientific evidence doesn't support that it would be effective. So we've, through this trial, we've had this incredible disconnect where we've had the politicians saying, oh, the experts are telling us this. We're cross-examining the experts and looking at their filed evidence. It's not saying this. And they're saying, oh, no, this is a political decision. Clearly, the government, the Liberal government, has been playing politics with Canadians' fundamental charter rights.
Well, what do you know? A government violating your chartered rights, your constitutional rights. Wow. Say it ain't so. Another perversion. Australia is already seeing them dropping more expeditiously. I've been seeing it here as well locally. But as I keep saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. And they are timing it so that by fall, you're going to have four vaccines in order to be fully vaccinated. And they're going to reinstate the restrictions again. And as long as everybody's willing to comply, you're going to die. Compliance means termination. That's what they're doing. If you're agreeing to go with their system, they're going to kill you. And there's nothing you can say because you are agreeing to it. And this is what he's saying here. That They didn't even recommend that you have to get a shot to fly. So who gave the recommendation? Who gave the recommendation? Who was the one that, you know, said that you had to have the jab to get on the plane? Oh, I remember Air Canada made that restriction and illegal, again, instituting this policy. What do you know? So Air Canada now is making laws for Canadians. Imagine that. How about WestJet? How about all the other airlines? Like I said, none of these places give a shit about you. They lie through their teeth. These are perverts. All of them. And everybody should sit there and think about this for 1 second. Why is it Canada has not lifted all the restrictions? Why not? Why not? Every place else on the planet has lifted restrictions except Canada. Why? Because perhaps the new bioweapon factory they've instituted in Quebec isn't getting enough sales. So now they got to encourage Canadians, and if you're dumb, you'll go along with it, of course, to get your third and fourth shot so that the bioweapons factory in Quebec can make a factory, can make a profit. That's called these companies that produce vaccines what they really are. They're manufacturers of bioweapons. There has never been a safe vaccine, ever. And they're not working at making them safe. Why? Because they're weaponized, carrying biological and nano operating systems inside of these injections so they can take you out at a genetic level. That, to me, is a bioweapon, not an injection or a vaccine. So the bioweapons manufacturer here in Canada, in Quebec, is now mass-producing bioweaponry for this country and for our export. I always see some of my friends, you know, that are Asian. I always say to them, well, you know, you got too many Asians on the planet. We got to get rid of you. And I got some friends of mine who are of dark-skinned persuasion. I said, well, you got too many colored people on the planet. Got to get rid of them. They start laughing because they know I'm being sarcastic. You know, I also say we got too many Caucasians on the planet. Gotta get rid of them. So we got too many natives. We gotta get rid of them too. See, they don't care. They don't care if you're Asian. They don't care if you're from the Middle East or Near East. They don't care if you're from South America or Central America or the Caribbean. They don't care. They don't care if you're from America. Oh, you're an American. Yeah, come here. We'll give you a shot. You'll die like everybody else. We don't care if you're Canadian. Oh, yeah, we know you're polite. Come on in. We'll give you a shot like everybody else. And look at Israel. Look at Israel. They're on their fifth injection. That fifth bioweapon. Fifth bioweapon. And they're dropping. They're dying over there. Imagine that. We're not going to see the end of this until everybody decides we're not going to do it. How many of you have to see your kids die before you get into this fight? They already want to rape your kid with a pedophile. You can see that coming. How many kids have to die? How many of your children have to die before you wake up and realize they were injected with a bioweapon? How many? How long do we have to wait before you wake up and realize that your family members now are dead and been harvested and turned into some sort of fertilizer? How many of you have to wait for that? This is something I'm proposing. Today, if I had a kid today, which is not going to happen, that wouldn't bring a child into this shit today, myself anyway. But if I had a kid today and this shit was going on, they'd be homeschooled. They would be homeschooled. I'm not worried about their social interactions. They will find people of like-mindedness and interact with them. I don't need them to learn how to be gay. I don't need to learn them how to be a lesbian. Nor do I need to learn them how to be whatever other gender bender that they've created. Transsexual, transvestite, whatever. They don't need to learn that. Now, I'll tell you why they don't need to learn that, because by the time those kids decide to go into that kind of sexual orientation, they're going to see it, because they're going to not be around that environment. They're going to be around a more wholesome environment. So that's why I'm saying, why are you not keeping your kids at home? I mean, do you want them to get raped? You want them to get killed even? Harvested for adrenochrome? What these perverts is, they set out these predators so they can go after your kids, grab them, do whatever they're going to do to them to harvest the adrenal glands to get the adrenochrome out of them. That's what this is about. Almost reminds me of Days of the Vampires. You know, I want to eat your blood, yeah. These are things that we need to reevaluate today. The one thing that everyone needs to really reevaluate is this. These are not the good old days. These are not the days where you can trust a government official, especially that's been one who's been charged with seven different offenses and is still running the country. Apparently, our police enforcement, CSIS and the RCMP, obviously have had their hands tied. They're handcuffed. Anyway, the point is, why are you sending your kids into the den of iniquity? Just something to, you know, I don't understand it. It's like sending a lamb out into the middle of a pride of lions. So as the lamb goes into the territory, the lions get up and say, "Oh, dinner. Wow. Lamb's blood. Yes." Again, I'm not sure why anybody would do that. But what do I know? What do I know? Things are a little different today than they were when I had mine. I'll put it that way. Recycling. Okay, I'm going to play this on recycling. I may have played it once before, but I think it's important that you all realize that recycling is bullshit. I worked in a recycling company for about a year in London. And I got to tell you something. All this crap that you think you're doing in the recycling aspect of this, you're separating your plastic and your paper and your, you know, your wood and whatever. 99% of that goes to a landfill anyway. Whatever they can sort out in a plastic sorting facility, they do. But again, 99.9% of it goes to the landfill. Just so that you all know. Yeah, when she said this in this orientation, I knew she was right, because I had already been in the environment, in that work environment, and had already seen that. Let's see, where did I put it? Okay, here we go. All right, give me a minute. Give me 1 second. Let's see here. What happened now? Here we go. All right. Let me get this going. Here we go.
Of course you're not, because you recycle. You put paper and cardboard in its own bin and cans and bottles in another. And of course you definitely separate out all your plastics. Why?
Because you told me to.
Because your entire life, that's what you've been told to do. Kids are taught early that recycling is a good thing. And activists like young Greta want to shame you if you don't do it. But here's the thing, some recycling is good for the environment and waste reduction. But when it comes to plastic, recycling it is mostly a big fat scam. And like most scams, it's got everything to do with money. You know the saying from The Matrix where Morpheus asks Neo if he wants to know how deep the rabbit hole goes? Well, the history of plastic and recycling it is a very deep rabbit hole, but also a very disgusting one, filled with lies, deception, and greed. And the entire history of plastics starts in the early part of last century in the 1930s. During World War II, the Allies were looking for a lightweight, flexible, and cheap way of replacing much heavier steel and wood construction in planes, tanks, and other equipment. And they found a solution, plastic. During a few short wartime years, plastic production in the United States went into overdrive, quadrupling the amount that was being produced. But when the war ended, so did the increased demand for plastic. But instead of just shutting down all the new plastic factories created during the war, the Society of the Plastics Industry was created instead, and it had one simple aim: to make sure consumers who had never really bought plastic items before would buy as much of the stuff as possible. And it worked. America soon became obsessed with plastics. But there was one really big problem for the plastic industry, because people were just reusing the items instead of throwing them away. Until this time, people were very comfortable with reusing items. Milk, food items, cosmetics, and cleaning products all came in metal or glass containers that could be cleaned and used repeatedly. So when plastic first came into fashion, people just started reusing plastic containers. But this wasn't good for the plastic industry, because this meant less money selling packaging. So to encourage people to use more plastic, the industry went into advertising overdrive. They took out full-page ads in magazines and newspapers, encouraging people not to use reusable items, telling us that single-use disposable items were the way of the future, selling society on the idea that life would be easier if you just threw your packaging away and didn't have to clean containers or return bottles to your milkman. With all this advertising, very soon the world got used to just throwing everything away, and by 1960, plastic production had surpassed aluminium for the first time in history. But this love of being wasteful didn't last very long, because just a decade later, people stood up and said enough was enough. In April of 1970, the United States came together to celebrate the very first Earth Day. 20 million people in total, or 10% of the entire country's population, attended rallies all around the country. It was a mass demonstration designed to put pressure on the government to implement laws that would benefit the environment. And one of the major targets of these demonstrations was the plastic industry and its very wasteful practices. The plastic industry was in the crosshairs and people were angry, but they couldn't take a hit to their business just because all of a sudden people started caring about the environment. So they did what most big industries do when their profits come under fire. They used lies and manipulation. Even though only 10 years earlier, they had successfully convinced people to just throw everything away, they now needed to change their tactics. And instead of investing time and money into making their products less damaging, they just blamed us for the problem. The plastic industry put together a series of ads blaming consumers for single-use plastics, saying that they were the ones responsible for plastic pollution, because it was us that was throwing these items away in the first place. For years, they spent millions of dollars on these new campaigns, with the main aim of guilt-tripping the public into taking the fall, instead of taking responsibility for their own actions and the practices that had led us to this problem in the first place. Yeah, this is pretty gross behavior. But if you think it couldn't get more scummy or deceptive than this, think again, because the worst is still to come. But before I talk about that, just a quick note that we have an epic newsletter of 65,000 people plus receiving extra financial education packaged in beautifully told stories. So there's a link in the bio for that. Okay, so now let's talk about possibly the worst thing that the plastic industry has done in the name of profit. But even though it was something that was created over 45 years ago, it's still tricking most of the world into believing that we are doing something good when recycling it. The world continued to put pressure on the plastic industry as more data showed how damaging these products were to the environment. So for the first time, the industry legitimately started to look into what they could do to solve the problem. In the 1980s, the plastic industry started putting heavy research and money into the effectiveness of recycling plastic in order to reduce waste. But unfortunately for them, what they found wasn't good news. According to the plastic industry's own reports, most plastic isn't able to be recycled effectively at all. This is mostly due to plastic's flexibility and the way it's produced, meaning the material starts to degrade after only a few uses, meaning that each time a piece of plastic was recycled, its quality would quickly degrade. And there were other problems as well that got in the way of effectively recycling plastic, like the fact that it was almost always cheaper and more energy efficient to make plastics from new instead of making them from old materials. But the public wouldn't accept that. They wanted cleaner, greener materials that weren't so damaging to the environment. People wanted to recycle plastic, and so the big brains in the plastic industry put their thinking caps on and came up with the most damaging scam ever that was designed to manipulate people into not feeling so bad about using their product so that they could keep selling their profitable plastic. Remember the Society of Plastics industry I spoke about earlier? Well, as soon as they realized that recycling plastic wasn't a viable option, they created a plan to trick people into believing that it is. And they did this by simply lying to people. Or as the president of the industry of plastics industry put it,
if the public thinks the recycling is working, then they're not going to be as concerned about the environment.
And here's how they pulled off that lie. This is the international recycling symbol created in 1970 by the artist Gary Anderson. And I'm sure you've seen this symbol printed on almost every single disposable plastic product you buy today. Actually, no, you won't. Instead, you'll find symbols like these, which look almost identical, but in reality, they aren't even close to being the same thing. These are resin identification codes, which were created by the plastic industry in 1988. The arrows on the resin identification codes don't actually mean anything at all. The only thing that does is the number in the middle, which tells you what kind of plastic the item was made from. However, the plastic industry added the arrow by design in order to mimic the recycling symbol, so that most people would be fooled into believing that the plastic was recyclable and not to feel so bad about using these products, and so that they could sell more plastic and make a ton more money. Still today, almost everywhere on earth, you will find these symbols on the bottom of almost every single plastic item you buy. And in most cases, they won't be recyclable. In reality, only the first two of the main seven plastic resin identification codes are generally recyclable. Some of the remaining five can be recycled in certain circumstances. But as a lot of places aren't set up to recycle these kind of specialized kinds of plastic, these items usually just end up in landfill or are just incinerated like any other kind of garbage. Have you also been fooled by these kind of resin codes? Let me know down below. For almost a century, the plastic industry has lied to us in order to make profit. And since the 1980s, they've convinced billions of people, including probably you and I, to believe that the single-use plastics you use in every single day aren't as bad for the planet as they actually are. And sadly, these scummy practices don't seem like they're going to cease anytime soon, because unfortunately for us, the plastic and plastic recycling industry is a massive business today. Collectively, the 10 biggest recycling companies on the planet make over $60 billion per year, and a big chunk of that income comes from recycling plastic. It's companies like these that are likely contracted by your city or your government to recycle the plastic disposed of in your community. And if we all recycled less plastic, that would mean they'd make less money from lucrative government contracts that are paid for by your tax dollar. And so these companies spend millions per year brainwashing the public that all plastic recycling is good, so we don't feel so bad about using plastic products. On top of this, in the US alone, plastic companies spend over $300 million per year advertising their products, making sure we stay hooked on plastic. And companies like Apple, Patagonia, and Adidas invest in heavy PR campaigns, trying to make you see them as good guys because they use recycled plastic in their products, all so that humanity stays hooked on petrochemical products for as long as possible, and so that the companies profiting from this industry don't have to take massive steps to make significant change. In short, it's a lot of public relations, and they're directing the narrative of society just enough to make it seem as if they care, as long as it doesn't impact their profits. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't recycle your plastics, because there are some plastics that can be recycled, but it's only a small amount of the plastics that will actually come back into circulation as new products. Luckily for us, there is a simple solution on how to solve humanity's addiction to plastic, and that is to hardly use the stuff at all. If you have the option, choose reusable metal, glass, or wood. Kind of like what they did before the plastic industry brainwashed us into thinking single-use plastic was a good idea. And don't fall for companies who use positive spin to try to get you to buy the plastic products. Sure, a recycled plastic jacket sounds great, but it's still a product that's supporting the continued use of plastic and feeding the beast of the recycling industry that wants us to continue using plastic. In short, the less plastic you use, whether recycled, new, or otherwise, the less you'll be feeding this beast that seems to only care about profit. Plastic is used in almost every single industry these days, and one of the biggest culprits right now is the fashion industry. We have microplastics floating around everywhere that is now being detected in human blood. The good news is that there seems to be really nice innovations coming in the future, like plastics made from mushrooms and seaweed and hemp. But until that becomes a viable alternative, almost no plastic is good plastic. And if somebody's trying to convince you otherwise, generally speaking, they're really only after one thing: the cold, hard plastic currency that lives in your wallet. Thank you so much for watching. I'd love for you to be here in the future, so subscribe.
And that is pretty true. I never understood this either. Okay, if you go, in Canada, you go to the Superstore and Canadian Tire, they give you a kind of like a cloth bag to put your groceries in. You can opt for plastic or whatever. Value Village now is giving you paper bags, which really isn't that good either, because now you're tearing down trees. And that was the argument way back in the 60s. Well, it beats cutting down a tree. And what I never understood is, if you go in places like Metro and some other places that give you a plastic bag, Price Chopper, Sobeys, whatever, I never understood why you would give plastic when you're trying to get away from plastic, because those plastic bags also wind up in a landfill. So, the old days, I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother, we'd go to a market, like an open market, not like a grocery store. And they'd have these leather bags. They were leather. Lasted for years. And they'd load up their groceries or whatever they bought at the market, their eggs or nuts or seeds or seafood, whatever. And they would carry these bags. Very durable. So if you're looking at an alternative, these are alternatives that you can use. But like she's saying, there's nothing really good about plastic, really. It takes forever to break down. And when it does decompose, it releases a lot of estrogens into the system. And it does poison the land. And this thing with the seaweed and all this other shit, well, you know what? If they're plasticizing it, then it's no good either. One of the companies that was growing corn not for edibleness, but for plastic making. The corn actually was growing plastic. Imagine that. So again, this is something that you might want to consider and think. These were all perversions. Tonight, everything that I talked about was perversion, whether it was sexual, political, or environmental. It's all perversion. Something to think about. All right, as I say at the end of these shows, read the Gospels, read what Jesus had to say. You know, stay tuned to what's going on there. You may find some interesting passages in there, like I did when I started doing that thing with the pedophile, and that cop came out of nowhere. A buddy of mine told me to look at a scriptural reference, and lo and behold, there it was. Anyway, read what Jesus had to say. Read the letters, read the Gospels, read the book of Revelations. That is the playbook. Read it, read it, read it. Okay, and up on the top of the page, there are people there trying to help everybody. So if you can help them financially, please do so. If you can't, don't worry about it. Because everybody understands that the perverted parliaments, the perverted Congress, the perverted Senate destroyed the North American livelihood for the respective countries. So we understand that. So again, get yourself on board. Get your feedback on the ground, and if you can just share the information, just share it with everybody you know. That would also help them as well. Alrighty, I always say at the end of these shows, we are still here by the grace of God. So until the next segment, to your health. Take care.